6.
Item number 6 from the Director, Department of Parks, Recreation, and Culture.
Let's give it a round. Pugs are abounding me the record note. Would the clerk please read item number 6, please?
Item number 6 from the Director, Department of Parks, Recreation, and Culture, submitting an informational report updating the committee on future development of Johnson's Park. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Ms. Schlesser?
Good afternoon, Chairman, Supervisors. I'm Laura Schlesser, Chief of Administration and External Affairs for the Parks Department. And with me is Marcia Caton Campbell. She's the Interim Executive Director for Center for Resilient Cities. Just as a real quick introduction, in 2005, the county entered into discussions with the Urban Open Space Foundation, now referred to as the Center for Resilient Cities, regarding their desire to revitalize the Lindsay Park neighborhood. And that's where Johnson's Park resides. In 2007, the county entered into an agreement that established a public-private partnership to enhance the park. A concept plan for the park was developed, and the presentation today will kind of take you through the history of the partnership and where we are today and the vision for the future. And I will turn it over to Marcia.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors.
Good afternoon.
The Center for Resilient Cities builds robust and thriving urban communities that are healthy, just, economically viable, and environmentally sound. Since 2004, we've been working in Milwaukee's Lindsay Heights neighborhood to build community capacity and enhance community resilience. The Johnson's Park Initiative, which is the subject of today's update, is a collaborative partnership of long standing between Milwaukee County Parks, the Center for Resilient Cities, Alice's Garden, Johnson's Park Neighborhood Association, the nascent Friends of Johnson's Park Group, and the Rotary Club of Milwaukee and LISC Milwaukee. And I want to just mention that President Jeffrey Remzik of the Rotary Club and President-elect Rick White were here this morning but had to leave because today is the Rotary meeting day, and so they were unable to stay. We do have a Rotarian and longstanding partner in this endeavor, John Walker, here with us, and he may say some things if time permits at the end. I'd like to give you a quick project background on this community-driven plan. I know that there are several supervisors on the committee who were on the committee when we originally came before you in 2007 for the development agreement that we have pertaining to Johnson's Park. Resilient Cities led a 15-month community visioning and planning process that resulted in 2006 in concept plans for the revitalization of Johnson's Park and Alice's Garden, and the greening of the Brown Street Academy schoolyard. We had numerous stakeholder meetings with a wide variety of stakeholders over that 15-month period, including County Parks staff, City of Milwaukee staff, MPS staff and students, UW Extension Milwaukee County, the business community, local philanthropists, to examine the possibilities for this area of the city. The plan that you see here, the Fond du Lac and North Avenue Green Infrastructure Plan, is an 88-page plan of analysis for the 1,000-acre planning area that we were looking at. It essentially maps the city's Neighborhood Strategic Planning Area 10. The result of this plan was three demonstration projects, Johnson's Park, Alice's Garden, and Brown Street Academy, and the goal was to improve the quality of green spaces in the Lindsay Heights neighborhood. The process culminated in an October 2007 agreement between Milwaukee County and the Center for Resilient Cities. It was unanimously approved. The agreement covered development of a master plan, fundraising, final design, and implementation. And key to implementation was removal of the berms that surrounded the perimeter of the park. And I'll show some slides of that later. Here's a timeline of project accomplishments, starting actually predating 2005 slightly, when programs began in Alice's Garden under community leadership, and then along the top line of the timeline, taking you through the community planning and visioning process, showing notable points of accomplishment. Johnson's Park berm removal took place in 2009. The playground has been replaced in 2010. Alice's Garden improvements, Alice's Garden is part of Johnson's Park, took place in 2009-2010. And then an exercise station and new signage and a swing set have been additions by Milwaukee County Parks to Johnson's Park. And what we're here to update you on is the proposed remaining development for the park, for Johnson's Park itself, which would take place in 2013-2014, funds permitting. This slide gives you an indication of the 1,000-acre planning area, the dashed line that we did an analysis for, and it reflects that Johnson's Park is the sole substantial green space in that area of the city. To the lower left of the slide is the beginnings of Washington Park. On the right, across I-43, is James W. Beckham Park and Carver Park. But there really is very little in the way of parkland here, so Johnson's Park is a critical community space. It's also a catalytic project for the Lindsay Heights Neighborhood Initiative, and the graphic that you see here locates the park in the context of the Lindsay Heights Quality of Life Plan. That planning process took place in 2009, and Center for Resilient Cities was a participant in the planning process. I want to point out that this area of the city is rich in African American history. The project area is where, in 1842, a woman named Carolyn Quarles was given safe haven at Deacon Samuel Brown's farm. And she was a freedom seeker traveling from St. Louis, Missouri, to Windsor, Ontario. As she was moved from place to place, the stops on Wisconsin's Underground Railroad were identified, and we worked with one of her descendants from the Detroit area to successfully place this area of the city on the National Underground Railroad Network to Freedom, which is a program of the National Park Service. And then to return just briefly to the Lindsay Heights Quality of Life Plan, Johnson's Park and Alice's Garden are key catalytic projects for that quality of life plan. Together, they help meet goals for healthy living, safe physical activity, and healthy food access for area families. This is a before slide. It shows the park after the berms have been removed, but also gives you a sense of the project area before improvements were made to Alice's Garden or Brown Street Academy and Johnson's Park. This area of the city is also where the Park West Freeway was slated to go and was not built. So neighborhood homes once stood where Johnson's Park and Alice's Garden are now. This is the community-developed concept plan for the park, shown on the right of the slide, the large triangular area. That concept plan was incorporated into the 2007 agreement between the county and the Center for Resilient Cities, and it expressed the neighborhood's interests and desires for the park at the time. To the left, you see the proposed improvements for Alice's Garden at the top and then Brown Street Academy below. Just to say something briefly about Alice's Garden and show you some slides of the improvements that have been made to date on the Alice's Garden and Johnson's Park project. Alice Mead Taylor, because who was Alice is a question that always comes up, was a former executive director of Milwaukee County Extension. Her vision for building neighborhoods and nurturing people included gardening programs for children, youth, and their families. Her career was dedicated to education, first in the area of youth issues, and then in drug and alcohol abuse programs, and later in teaching people about cultural diversity and multiculturalism. As the first African-American director of the Milwaukee County Extension Office, Ms. Mead Taylor was an important factor in the cultural, academic, and political development of the office. When she passed away suddenly in the early 2000s, former 10th District Supervisor Beth Coggs introduced a resolution naming the garden in Alice's honor. Supervisor Coggs and Ms. Mead Taylor were very close friends. So here is a slide of what Alice's garden looks like now. You're looking east across the garden at the pavilion. In February 2010, the Center for Resilient Cities conducted a design charrette with community gardeners and other community stakeholders, including County Parks staff, resulting in new plans for Alice's garden. And then we led a fundraising effort to secure private philanthropic dollars to make the community's vision for Alice's garden a reality. Improvements included a garden pavilion, 3 tool sheds, 3 grills, picnic tables and benches throughout the garden space, fruit trees, and a decorative arbor that was donated by the Shul Center at Bayside, the former Pandel's Bayside restaurant. Stimulated by a challenge grant from the David and Julia Eline Charitable Foundation, funds were raised between December 2009 and May 2010, and the garden construction took place over the subsequent 6 months. So here's a little bit of the garden under construction. You're looking north to south, west to east with Johnson Park Lofts, a major development across Johnson's Park. Prior to the berm removal, you could not have seen Johnson's Park Loft from that vantage point. Alice's garden has since won a LISC Mandy Award for Best Public Space. It was the inaugural issuance of that award, which is sponsored by the Brewers Community Foundation. It also won a Mayor's Design Award for Places and Spaces. Both of those awards were made in 2011. The upper slide shows children participating in yoga for kids, and the lower slide shows the October 2010 garden dedication. Since the physical improvements have been made, use of the garden and the embrace of the garden by the African American community has been substantial, and there are numerous programs going on there. Tonight there will be a Juneteenth celebration in the garden. So now to take a quick look at Johnson's Park again. In 2009, berms were removed. In 2010, the playground was replaced. In 2011, the signage was rehabbed, and a Helios exercise station was installed. And then just in the last few weeks, the swing set construction was completed. And all of these things are improvements that were done by Milwaukee County Parks. The berm removal had the City of Milwaukee Redevelopment Authority as a partner. And I'll get to that in a moment. The city has made improvements to the Fond du Lac Avenue median and then constructed a crosswalk and done some additional bench seating at the intersection of Fond du Lac 18th and Lloyd Streets. So this is the berm removal in 2009, a joint partnership of Milwaukee County and the Redevelopment Authority of the City of Milwaukee. The total project cost was $190,000. The berms ranged in height from 8 to 11 feet and completely obscured clear sight lines into the park, so they were a serious safety issue. Yes?
Those berms, were they part of the Park West project, or do you know where they came from?
They were a landscape architecture feature that was added to the park, as was common in urban parks at the time, to create a more bucolic environment. But unfortunately, it had kind of the opposite effect in terms of creating a safety hazard that was unintended.
Thank you.
So removing them completely altered the park and visually reconnected the neighborhoods on either side of the park. And to quote former City Homes resident Cecilia Gore Bryant on the subject, she said, I used to drive my mother every day to Lake Park to go walking because I didn't see this park as a place where I could do that, and now it's completely transformed. So here are some slides quickly of the improvements to Johnson's Park that have been made by Milwaukee County Parks, and these improvements total another $200,000 beyond the berm removal. The Helios exercise station is on the left, the new playground on the right, and then the new swing set shown here. And this is children at the Johnson's Park Autumn Celebration last fall, which was co-sponsored by the Center for Resilient Cities, Alice's Garden, and the Lindsay Heights Neighborhood Health Alliance. I did have a picture of former Supervisor Biddle in the sack race as well, but it's not in the slideshow. It was digital. It was digital. I'll let you tell him, sir. Johnson's Park basic infrastructure improvements now proposed are a simplification of the original concept plan. It has been revised and updated based on changing neighborhood conditions and input from the community. The berm removal has resulted in increased use, community use of the park by a number of youth-serving nonprofits in the area and by families and residents in Lindsay Heights. So many of the amenities that were included in the original plan that were designed to draw people into the park are no longer deemed essential. They could be enhancements added down the line, but they're no longer deemed essential. Neighborhood walking clubs have started. Local nonprofits offer physical activity and nutrition programming for youth. The Running Rebels football team practices here. They don't have an NFL field, but they practice there. And the LaVarne Way and Brown Street Academy Boys and Girls Clubs use the park on a regular basis. Through the Lindsay Heights Quality of Life planning process and implementation, the community has expressed their desires for a multipurpose park that serves as many needs as possible. So the shading that you see here inside the loops of the park pathway are intended to show the scale of sports activity that could take place. That's the scale of a high school football field in the upper loop, and then smaller soccer fields for younger children in the lower loop. But the community doesn't want dedicated sports fields of the type at James W. Beckham Park. They like going to Beckham Park to use that field for baseball. And many neighborhood groups do actually use the areas now as temporary, sort of temporary neighborhood scale sports fields. So this proposed simplification includes enhanced park entrances, reconstructed 10-foot wide paths, energy efficient pathway lighting, improved grading of the park to accommodate that informal athletic field use, stormwater management and ornamental plantings, and then an improved shelter and restrooms. Here we go. The estimated cost without doing anything to the park shelter, but for the basic improvements alone, is a little over $976,000. We have examined single-wing and double-wing park shelter plans that were provided to us by Milwaukee County Parks. The single-wing cost is $275,000. The double-wing cost is $305,000. And so the total estimated project cost to bring this park really up to a very functional space is between $1.25 and $1.3 million. So that concludes my presentation, my update. And I do have John Walker here from the Rotary Club, if you're interested, and he would like a moment or two to speak.
Mr. Walker, would you care to join us?
I could.
John, would you like your Brown Street slides?
Yeah, you can put them on there.
Okay.
Thanks for calling me Mr. Walker. I'm not related, in case you're wondering. Yeah, well, I've been involved in helping with this whole thing for about 5 years as a member of Rotary. And I'm sorry that Jeff Redmelt, our current president, and Rick White, our incoming president, had to leave. But you know that we have their support, or they wouldn't have been here in the first place, right? And the Rotary's been involved with the overall Greater Johnson's Park project, both as people interested and also with finances. They contributed $100,000 for the project in general, but was specific to the Brown Street Academy, which was a piece of this whole thing. The way we saw it was there were three projects. It was Alice's Garden, the smallest and the easiest to accomplish, Brown Street Academy, the second largest and next easiest to accomplish, and now Johnson's Park. And based on what I was told the other day from Marcia and from others, we now have all the money we need to complete the Brown Street Academy schoolyard. We dedicated the northern schoolyard and the Nature Explorer classroom, which is that slide available? A couple of weeks ago, and
before and after.
Yeah, that could give you an idea. Well, just sort of go back to the other one. Just gives you an idea of the quality of the work that's been done. We removed all the asphalt. We got rid of all the heat and so forth. So we finished the northern half. We got the school, the Nature Explorer classroom completed. and we now have to do the south schoolyard and the front. But thanks to a couple of significant contributions recently through our Rotary efforts and through the MPS, some cooperation with MPS and the city, we have that behind us. So the important point is that it is behind us, and we are now prepared to help as we can with the, for the county park system, and particularly for Johnson's Park. Now, but what I'd like to explain is how we're organized to help, because we really don't have any money to give you, sorry. The club took up a major fundraising effort for the Arboretum project, and that money is being held for that purpose. So the way we've worked is we have a lot of members who, we have about 400 members in this club, and there are a lot of those folks who have connections to companies, foundations, and wealthy individuals, and so by working through them, we've been able to extract money for these purposes. And frankly, Chairman Broderick, that's the way we would approach it for Johnson's Park as well. We probably can't do it alone. We couldn't do the schoolyard without some help from MPS, and we probably can't do this alone either. So what we're really, our position really is to help you complete the project of Johnson's Park, which is sorely needed. We have a small group of Rotarians. There's about 20 of us. Two or three are past presidents of the club. One's a past district governor, which means he was over the whole area. And then some of us are just simply volunteers that are working on it. We have a separate group of what we consider an oversight group that's made up of a Boys and Girls representative, a Rotary Club representative, was a school representative before. We'll need a representative from the Park District, and and Leo from List. So that really was a control group to make sure that the money was spent the way it was supposed to be spent, the designs met the criteria that were set forward, and so forth. So that little group, even though I sat in on it and sort of chair it, I really don't have a vote, because we wanted to have a four-person vote that are involved but not directly in control. So that's been set up. The other thing I want to tell you, Mr. Chairman and ladies and gentlemen, is the money that flows in for these purposes, some comes directly to the Rotary Club, whereby it's passed on to List. Some goes directly to List, and some goes directly to the Center for Brazilian Cities. Now, I know that sounds complicated, but that's, as you know, when you're working with donors, you listen. And so we do it really the way that the donors.
The reference to LISC, the acronym, it always escapes me. And you guys changed your name to make
it
work.
Local Initiative Support Corporation.
And that's Leo Reese.
Mm-hmm. That's Leo. But I just say Leo.
Sure.
So that's about all I can add. All I can add to her presentation. I think that the club is anxious to see this successful. We feel like the work in this part of the city, in particular, and this project within this part of the city is important. I've personally been involved in Feeding America, which is right across Fond du Lac Avenue from the park, for about 8 years. Been as chairman of that board for a couple of years, and continue to be working with them on their feeding the hungry. So I see this place all the time. I see it as a catalyst for improving that whole part of our city. Now, you're only involved with, I mean, you're involved with the parks because that's part of the county, but you have to also be concerned about the environs of the park, and we can already see some improvements happening, and I think that what this can do is can improve that whole area. So anyway, that's the Rotary role. I'll fill out the card.
Well, yeah, good. Thank you for all your contributions, both personally and organizationally, to these good efforts across the county. They have real impact.
Thank you.
Director Black. Director Black, by the way, this morning was the recipient of the Norman Gill Award from the Public Policy Forum. Probably the highest honor that one can be granted civically here.
Well, well deserved, I'm sure.
Well, I appreciate that. It was quite the morning. It's been quite the day. Either way, I want to just put the exclamation point on it, that it's the downtown Rotary that has really adopted Johnson's Park, and I don't think that's a small statement at all. So thank you, and tell the rest of your board members and what have you. In fact, they asked me to speak there next month or what have you, but I'll thank them personally. But we've been at this since Heather Mann was the head of whatever it used to be called. well, what was it before? It was
the Urban Open Space Foundation,
which takes me back to the Madison days. But either way, we've been at this since 2004 when I walked in, and we've seen the progress. I mean, the project's coming along, and I hope to continue that one way or the other. So thank you so much.
Ms. Kate and Campbell, thanks so much for the presentation. It's enlightening.
You're welcome.
And we have one more. Director Black, do you think it would be giving...
He's very short. It'll be about a minute long.
Okay. I didn't know if you wanted to lay it over to give it a proper
hearing. I think you had some questions on it, and he's got some handouts and what have you, and I think it'll be very quick.
Number 7, please.